This is Just Talking It Up with Ross and Janet.
Welcome back to Just Talking It Up. I'm sure glad you're here, and I'm here with my buddy. I was going to say my buddy Crash, but I'm not quite sure what to call him now. How are you, Crash?
Call him wonderful. I like that. Nobody in my family does that, but occasionally I try to get them to do that. But.
I think it's about time people know that your real name is Ross. And if we're accustomed to calling you Crash, and some are accustomed to calling you Ross, I think maybe we should just get a blend of the two and we'll call you Cross.
Hey, listen, as long as we stop there and you don't come up with any of the other things you call me over the years, I'll be all right with that, okay?
It works for me. Works for me. So how are you doing today? Are you okay?
I'm doing great. Listen, anytime at my age I am on this side of the flowers, looking at the blooms and not at the roots, I'm in good shape.
Hey, listen, was that a great show we did with Carl Erskine?
Well, I thought he was. I thought there are a number of things about that. Number one, what an engaging, high-principled guy he is. He's 86 years old, and he was absolutely on point. And I don't know if our listeners recognize there are a number of things that he talked about that I've never seen in print, I've never heard. And he was incredibly engaging, very kind to spend that amount of time with us. And I have since talked with him and thanked him for that and thanked his wife. And we are so grateful for him having done that. And I thought it came across incredibly well.
Yeah, and it was such a joy. And I was actually surprised. And first of all, I'm not even a big baseball person. I'm occasionally a baseball fan, but not on a regular basis the way you are. I mean, you've got baseball in your blood. I mean, it's just in your DNA. But I was so interested in everything that he had to say, historically and emotionally and spiritually. He had me. Yeah. It's like he had me by the shirt collar and he was talking straight at me. And I was fascinated by everything he had to offer. And I just am so grateful that he spent so much time with us.
Me too. And it's interesting that we talked about a smorgasbord of things. Obviously, his faith, which is a strong part of his life. I don't know if many people went to YouTube and listened to him play the harmonica but with Buddy Green on a Bill Gaither show or not, but he is incredibly good. Now, I have a nephew named Ross Kinder, who plays with Ryan Kinder, and he is one incredible harmonica player, too. Anybody around the Birmingham area knows how good he is, but that's a real talent that he's got. And then he obviously talked about all of his baseball and afterlife, after baseball things. He just gave us a great, great interview. I don't know how it could have been any better.
Hey, maybe we need to talk to Ross Kinder. Have him as our guest.
Ryan's having trouble getting him. I guess we need to go to Ross.
Oh, we'll talk to both of those guys eventually.
Yeah.
But, hey, listen, our producer, J.P. Spann, brought this to our attention about what the Pope said a few weeks ago. Did you see that the Catholic Pope actually said that if a person is just a good person, that they're redeemed?
He did say, didn't use the word redeem, but he did say that everybody, let's see, he said or intimated that everybody is going to heaven. And that is contrary to, I think, any religious teaching of any kind, any of the three theistic religions, and of course the one that you and I believe is the way, which is Christianity, certainly does not believe that. And as a matter of fact, either the Vatican or the Catholic Church, and I'm not exactly sure who it was, came out and denied that pretty quickly. Didn't say, I think what the Pope meant to say was, but this is not what we believe. So, but it certainly.
How are our Catholic friends so quiet and not just, I would have assumed that this would have just kicked over an anthill.
Well,
but it hasn't.
I can't answer that, but you certainly have not seen it. It came out as one big spike, and then you haven't seen anything else about that.
Well, you know, most of the world, and especially the Muslim world, think of Christians as Catholics. When they look at their experience with what they believe Christianity to be, it's all through a Catholic lens. So that just is bizarre to me that the Catholics, especially American Catholics, would stand for that. It just seems it's so contrary to Scripture. Well, there's nothing you can do to get into heaven. You can't be good enough. You can't even be good enough to get into the race.
Well, as Christians, that's exactly what we believe. And it is amazing that they have not come out on that. I don't want to malign in any way the beliefs of Catholics, but I don't know many.
Oh, why not? Why not, Cross? We malign everyone else.
Well, I've talked to a lot of Catholics. I think the Catholic belief, the belief of most Catholics in the pew, is that if you're a Catholic, you're a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you have to be a Catholic. Now, I know there will be a lot that will challenge that viewpoint. I'm just saying that the ones that I've come in contact with, and I've had some very deep conversations with many Catholics about this issue. There's one in my office, and I've had some really good conversations with him. He's a wonderful young man and a strong believer, a Catholic. But certainly, if you're a Baptist, you're not necessarily a Christian. You can be a member of the Baptist Church and not a Christian.
And
you can be a Christian and not be a member of the Baptist Church if you want to go that. And you can fill in Presbyterian Church, Church of Christ. You can fill in a lot of things for that. But Christianity, or having an assurance of life after death and an abundance of life on earth, which is what the Christians believe, I believe, and I believe that's what Scripture says, that comes through an acceptance of and an understanding of Christ as Christ's lordship in our life, and not anything we can do other than accept what he has done on the cross for us.
Well, I find it troubling that so much publicity, and it was for a short time, it spiked. You're right. Attention to it just spiked, and then there were so many other things crashing around it that it kind of took its focus away. But I find it troubling that kind of a statement can be made by, you would think it'd be like a president, that you would just be very careful at what statements you put out there. You weigh it, you discuss it, you pray about it, you look at it from every angle, you decide whether it's going to be misinterpreted or misunderstood, and you carefully choose your words. But that's apparently is not the case. Either he was just shooting from the hip, or he's terribly misled. That's just, sorry. I'll malign him all day long. You can stay out of it, but I'll malign him.
How old is he? I can't remember. But
now, does that matter? We spoke to an 86-year-old baseball player that was clear as a bell, smarter than me and you put together twice on Sunday, and it doesn't matter how old he is, does it?
You are loaded for bear today, aren't you? You are rocking and rolling. I'm telling you what's the truth. If we were in the studio together, you might just slap me around pretty good. That's what
Well, you of all people are asking how old he was. Does that make a difference for real?
Listen, I'm sitting here with a drool cup, so I know anybody older than me. But you know, the truth is, he went off half-cocked, or he believes something that's in error. And who knows where he's coming from, but I bet you there's some Catholic cardinals that said, uh-oh, can we go back and pull the smoke out of the chimney?
It was a cigar. One of the cleaning men was down there smoking a cigar. That's all it was.
We were smoking in the Sistine Chapel, and who knows, somebody opened the vent, and they thought it was the chimney. Uh-oh. don't think I'd have told that.
Well, it's just not even you wouldn't hear somebody a priest say that from a pulpit, would you? Otherwise, what's the what's the good of even coming to church? Why do we even come to church?
Well, hey, you answer that question. Why do we go to church?
Well, if we're all redeemed because we do good deeds, what difference does it make?
Or pray. I mean, it doesn't make any difference if you pray. You don't pray, you don't
We don't need a savior because most of us can be good.
Well, you know, here's another thing. If you ask most people what it takes to be a Christian, they will say that you do more good things than bad things. I bet you if you go out, and I've done this, because I will ask waitresses and waiters and cab drivers and people I come in contact with when I travel, that's one of the things that I really enjoy doing is finding out what their worldview is. So I will ask them certain questions to get to the core issue about worldview. And most often, that's what they will say, be a good person or do more good things than you do bad things. And that's really a balancing act, of course. That's like the scales of justice, so to speak, and that they believe that the scales of justice go over into Christ's view of who comes to heaven. And I believe that you'd find that that's the case. I would be willing to bet that if you had asked 20 people that you don't know over the course of the next month, get into a conversation and ask them that question, you'll find more than 10 of them will say that very thing.
Yeah.
I think that's general worldview.
But you know what? I think subconsciously we try to minimize the cross because I think people feel guilty on the inside that they aren't better Christians and pay more attention to someone who gave their lives for us and has actually paid our bill. So we don't pay attention to Jesus. So we kind of on the inside sort of we like to minimize it because if we don't minimize it, we have to do something about it. We like being lazy in our faith. We like it to be this general good people do good things and those are the people that go to heaven.
Well, think about what the world's doing. The world is leading us. We amalgamate to the lowest common denominator to a great degree in this world. And so when you see TV shows, when you see people on in the newspaper, when you see people in all walks of life tell you that, hey, you know, this is supernatural stuff. How can you believe that? Jesus is the only way. Christianity is the only way. That's intolerant. That's exclusive. Well, every religion is exclusive. You look at Islam, you look at Judaism, you look at Christianity, Hinduism, you look at Confucianism, all those are, except Hinduism is not. Hinduism is a little more all-inclusive. You believe it? Yeah, I can believe that too. Are they, if things are contradictory, it doesn't matter to the Eastern world that they're contradictory. The Western world believes in logic. And logically, two things that are opposite can't both be true. And but as in the Western world, you do have a logical view of making a decision about what's right and wrong, what's true and what's not true. But we are told by the world, you can't be intolerant. You can't be exclusive. You have to be all inclusive. Everybody is good. That leads us into a belief that everybody's going to heaven regardless of what you do, because a loving God couldn't send you to hell. Well, a loving God, but you look at God has justice and he also has love. And those two things go together. We in the world have a hard time of putting justice and love together. But God doesn't. God said, here's my justice. I can't go against that. Man has sinned. I must send something to save them from that sin. I would be willing to give my own son to die on the cross. I wouldn't give my son for anybody or my daughter, and you wouldn't either. But God did. He gave his son for us. And so to reject that, we would be rejecting the most perfect gift that was ever given. Makes no sense at all in the world to do that.
Well, there are a lot of people that want us to be, that want Christianity to be inclusive, and they call Christians very exclusive. But it's not necessarily so much the Christians, but what they want is they want the Bible to be watered down. If these are words that Jesus said that no man comes to the Father except through me. That's what he said. I believe what he said, and people want to, they want to take part of it out because it's offensive. And the fact is, the Catholic Church can say anyone who is good will be is redeemed because you can't do good without the Father in you, or whatever it was he said. They can water that down, but the fact is the truth never changes. The Catholic Church might change, the Baptist Church might change, but the truth of God's Word, what was said, what was spoken by holy inspiration, that will never, ever change.
Well, it can't change if God is solid and he puts in place, you don't want to say rules and regulations, but truths. And when we say this is in Scripture, people say, you believe that? You believe that book? Come on. I go back. I believe that most Christians and most people who believe any religion do not have an adequate apologetic for their belief. Apologetic is obviously, as you well know, comes from the Greek word apologia, which means the ability to defend. And that's what we need to be able to do, is to defend our position. And so I will take people back to one question. Did Jesus die on the cross, and did he rise again on the third day? If that is a fact, then you have to deal with that in understanding what your faith is.
Another thing that a person has to decide, once they decide, did Jesus die on the cross, and did he die on the cross for me? Was that something that genuinely happened? They have to decide, was there another way? Could God have done this any other way? And the answer is absolutely not. You think God just offered his son because it was just, well, here's plan A, let's try this one. That's not it. There was no other way to do it.
Well, he had to have some, based on man's sin and fall from grace, he had to do something that would be retributive to take that away. Now, obviously the sending of his son and the symbolism of the shedding of the blood and the rising from the dead is very important in the Christian belief. To say he couldn't have done it any other way, he had to have something to take that sin away, and he chose, I think, a very, very unique way. The mind of God is so broad and deep and wide when you think of the universe and the galaxy and think of us as being a speck in that whole thing. Certainly his mind is so broad that maybe there could have been a way that he could have done it other than that. He chose this way. And I believe that's very important. I wouldn't challenge the way that he chose it. And so, but that's just something you have to deal with. If you look at the historical facts other than the Bible that say that Jesus did die, he did rise again on the third day, then that's an issue. I mean, you've got to look at that and say, what does this mean? Do I believe that? If you believe that, then it's really tough to say that Christianity is wrong.
When it all comes down, and even Catholics will tell you it all comes down to Jesus. But what is the special part of Mary? Because this was an Immaculate Conception? I mean,
the only thing that people that I've talked to are Catholics. I always go to that particular point. They say, pray to Mary. I say, why do you pray to Mary when you've got direct access to God? And they say, well, you know, the easiest way to get to somebody is through their mother. Not true. Not true. God, that veil was rent. And so we as Christians, you have direct access to God himself. Mary was a wonderful person and obviously God chosen and all that she went through, what have you. But I don't have to go to her to pray to Jesus or to God.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't they pray to Joseph? Because Joseph was a good man that married a woman who was pregnant, that he couldn't explain it. He just did what God told him to do. So he did some pretty good stuff too. So why don't we just pray to Joseph?
Good question. It's probably peripheral or tangential, not an important one, but you know, it's the same kind of thing.
God spoke to him in a dream also.
He did. He absolutely did.
I don't think I'll ever understand the ins and outs of Catholicism. It's all strange. But we do have friends that are Catholics that are Christians.
Absolutely. But I think the important thing is, just because you're Catholic doesn't mean you're Christian. Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you have to be Catholic. So
And just because you're Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or anything else, none of that means anything.
Fill in the blank. We, a lot of times, I think, as Christians, major on minor points. What we have to do, I think, is get those core issues correct, right, truthful, and then those other things we can argue about. But boy, the core thing, the importance of Jesus and the resurrection, the blood and the cross, those are things that are, I think, inviolate in terms of the belief.
Well, I guess we're done maligning Catholics for the day.
Yeah, hopefully we haven't maligned. I think if we have in this conversation evoked thought in the minds of anyone out there, and I would love for people to challenge what we've just said, love to engage them. So I think...
I agree. And I listen, anyone who has been offended, I sometimes will say things off the cuff that are very not very well thought out and sound a little harsher than I intend them.
No,
and it's out of pure ignorance. And if I'm ignorant about the Catholic Church, it's certainly not on purpose. And I don't mean to say anything that is terribly offensive, because, you know, we may have just raised some blood pressure levels that are Catholic friends that really think that it is important to be a good person. And it is important to be a good person, but not to get you into heaven. But
let's stop right there a second. In James and in a number of other places, it says faith without works is dead. And I believe the interpretation of that is, if you're truly saved, if your faith has led you to salvation, that you will desire to do works. You will desire to be baptized. You will desire those other things. But it's that faith and acceptance of Christ that is at the core of the Christian belief.
Mm. Well, who else can we talk about today?
You want to talk about each other?
No, that's too big a topic. We can't do that on the show.
and incredibly uninteresting. I can tell you that. You know, there are a lot of things happening. I know we have said we want to stay away from politics in general. But, you know, I think that we're seeing right now the onion being peeled back and a lot of things being exposed that I think need to be exposed. Be you Republican, Democrat, progressive, and I hate that term to be used for that particular group, but I think you have to say, let's get at the truth, whatever the truth is, because increasingly we're seeing that people in the U.S. believe that politicians don't care about the truth. All they care about is an ideology and power and money and prestige. And that is an incredible cancer. And if that cancer continues, our system is going to come apart. Our economic system, our political system is going to come apart. And I'm not sure, given our views of the Christian faith, those things can come apart and people will all of a sudden say, hey, this situation with Jesus and in Christian faith, this is all that I have left. These other things have let me down. And I think that's what we're seeing. I don't think anyone can look at the system today and say it's good, it's working. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. I do believe that.
Well, do we want to talk about trouble? Because to me, that's another subject that would take, that we don't have enough time to talk about the government. Because I just don't trust anything in the government now. Remember when people would refer to somebody as going postal?
Yeah.
Remember when so many postal workers like pulled out weapons and went back to the office and shot everybody they could find? And
yeah, they're going
horrifying.
Senatorial and congressional and presidential.
Yeah.
To go presidential is to go postal. Hey, that's interesting. Presidential will replace postal. That's good.
Well, you know, it working for the government has to be a terribly stressful thing, because you have to be able to see some things on every level. You have to be able to see with good eyes that something is being mishandled, misspent, something is totally unethical, and yet because it's your job, you kind of have to walk through it. Well, on the level that the government does it, no wonder people went postal. It's amazing that we don't have everybody going postal that works for the government, because they have to be able to see it. And when you see how large it is and there's nothing you can do about it, you have to feel hobbled in some way. And that would, I mean, that would just make anybody. I'm so glad I'm not a politician. I don't want my kids going to politics. If they do, I'm going to put them up for adoption, even if they're adults.
You're giving me two thoughts here. One is, have you ever gotten a letter from the IRS, and other than when you look through that little panel and you saw a check inside? Now, that would be a hooray, hooray. But have you ever gotten any other thing from the IRS? Oh, boy, my friends from the IRS have just contacted me. Heavens no. You have stark terror when you get that, when you get that cotton picking letter of any kind. It doesn't matter, because you believe that you've got the power and the money of the government behind them.
That's right.
And you don't have anything behind you. And I think if you don't believe that, you see the what the lady said from Wetumpka, Alabama, I think it was yesterday, when she was before the congressional committee, and you saw what she had to say and how she said it. If you haven't seen that, go back and listen to it. That's at the core of what I think people are believing today.
Have you ever been audited?
I have.
I have too.
I've been audited.
When I was just small scale. I was just peanuts. I was nothing. And it actually resolved itself. And it was when I was dating my husband. And I can remember being terrified. And he kept saying, "Why are you so upset about it? This is just not a big deal. They're just asking for receipts on this and this and this, and they just want to see your books here doing this and this." And I was terrified. I still remember it. I remember the feeling that I had. I remember going down to the IRS office and having to spread all this stuff out in a file folder and explain it to them, and thinking they are never going to understand why I did this here, how I can say that this. It really shook me to my core. And I was just a little bitty nothing. I was thinking, they're going to take my car away.
Well, let me tell you about an experience I had about 20 some odd years ago. I got a call from the IRS and said, "We are going to be auditing you, and we're going to come to your office, and you need to have this, 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 and this." All right, let me tell you a situation.
Got a phone call.
You're right. Let me tell you a situation I had about 25 years ago. I got a call from the IRS. They said, "We're going to audit you. We're going to come to your office, and you need to have this type of information available to us." Well, my accountant office was on the floor below me, so immediately went down and said, "Look, here's what they have." And he said, "Okay, we'll be ready." They were there for 4.5 days. At the end, we found that they owed me $10 because there was a contribution that I made to a charitable organization, 501c3, that I hadn't taken off, and so they were that's how much they owed me. The agent told me at that time, and it really didn't ring to me until all this came up. He said, "You have an apartment house called Georgetown Apartments, and we thought that you were involved with Newt Gingrich, who lived in Georgetown, and that this was some sort of cover-up." That's what they told me.
Wow.
That was 20, 25 years ago. I can't remember exactly the exact date. And this came back to my memory when I've never been audited since. I've had things that they've said, "We need this backup with this backup with this backup," and I'd send it. But I'm very meticulous with my accounting and that. I want to be on the right side of the line. I want to be close, but I want to be on the right side of the line.
Wow. So not only have we revealed your real name, which is Ross, we've revealed that you were once a wanted man with
mercy.
Newt Gingrich.
Do you want my Social Security number? Now let me go back and let me go back. I said I had two thoughts from something you said. Let me tell you what that other thought was. People are afraid. People in government are afraid. They know that when the higher up says something, they better cover up to some degree, or they've got a decision to make. And my belief is that Donlan, who resigned today, probably had a decision to make. He did so. He resigned, and now you have Susan Rice coming into that position. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But I was about 5 years ago, I was doing some training in Europe with a bank. And so I had a couple of extra days, and I said, I'm going to go to Munich and then go to Dachau, which I did. For anyone who's been to Dachau, you know that you get off that bus and you walk down this tree-lined street that looks like Maple Street in any town, USA. On the right-hand side, you see white picket fences and trees and little houses. On the left-hand side, you see the double fence and the moat between and Dachau. Now, that was pretty much the same way it was in 1941, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So you say, how did people live that way, knowing what was going on the other side? Well, if you go back and look at World War II and you see how Hitler came into power from 1923 to 1933, it took him 10 years to kind of get on top of the political system. But then when he did that, and then he became both chancellor and president and head of the military in 1934, from then on out, it took him, what, 3.5 years to take over Austria and part of Czechoslovakia. And then in September 39, he invaded Poland. Now, if you put yourself in that position, are you going to go against him? Are you going to stand up and say, this is wrong? Because at that time, he had already taken a lot of his inner circle and killed them. You know, back in the late 30s, in what was called the Night of the Long Knives, where a couple of hundred people who were in his government or in his military were killed, you know, after the Reichstag was burned. So what happens is there's that power. And now, please understand me, listeners. I'm not making a direct parallel here. All I'm saying is that when you fear some entity, it changes your behavior. And I think that we're seeing that play out. And the question is, how are we going to peel that onion back and find out who and what is at the core of this fear that's being foisted upon our nation and our government?
Wow. I made you think all that?
Well.
Hey, we're out of time.
I've done all my thinking for the day. It hurts too much.
Hey, listen, folks, please come back and join us again. I'm here with my buddy Ross Crash Cross, whatever you want to call him. He is very intelligent. I learn something every single time. Ross, thank you very much for doing this with me so many times. This has just been fun. It's been education. We do. I'll talk to you next week. Y'all come back.
See you.